Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. One, two, three, four.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney.
You really kind of lit. I mean, I thought we were going to do our first ever musical episode.
No, I thought it was kind of like, you know how sometimes that, like, in a catchy theme song or jingle or something, like, you sing, and then at the final part is like a, and their best pal, and I'm Sydney.
That's
what I was going for.
This is a special time in the McElroy family household. We have had this like wild nonstop month where it's like we were running for office until November, and then we did tour, and then you were like on service pretty quickly after that at the hospital, and we've been trying to get coats for people. This has been a wild time.
Yes, we've been extremely busy.
And then candle nights. We got our candle nights spectacular the 17th.
Absolutely. We've been working hard preparing for that, bringing you something we think you'll love.
Yeah, and you can actually, we'll mention this at the end of the show too, but if you go to bit.ly/candlenights2022, you can buy tickets to that. It's $5. Is the minimum, and then you can kick in a bit more. It's a digital show, and you can watch it for like a month afterwards, but it's going to premiere at, I believe, 9 p.m. on the 17th Eastern Standard Time. It's going to have lots of skits and videos, and it's all goes to raise money for Harmonies.
And songs. Parody songs, maybe.
Anyway.
Definitely.
We've been swamped. Sid's at the hospital this week, but we didn't want to leave you without a new episode of Sawbones.
So Justin said he would research one this week.
Yeah.
And he promised me that it would be something I'd be really excited to talk about and that I would really enjoy.
I didn't say that.
And it would be really just something that I would find a very like soothing, relaxing, you know, since I'm working really hard this week at the hospital.
Yeah, it's been a hard week.
It's been a hard week.
You know, Kathy.
No, it's ACK.
It's been such a hard week.
Listen, all the viruses are out now. They're all trending, all the viruses. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, wash your hands, stay home when you're sick.
From Con Air.
Wear a mask even if you feel so inclined. If you're sick, stay home. It's just that season.
Can you not kill the mood when I'm trying to ramp up here, Squid?
Sorry, it's been a bit of a week.
Okay, so, but I'm here to soothe you because today we're going to talk about farts.
No.
Medically.
No.
Sydney doesn't like puerile topics very much, so I've been asking her to do farts for years, and she won't do it. So now I'm going to do it.
Justin's going to talk about farts.
It's only going to be barely medical. That's my warning to you. I just want to talk about farts.
It may surprise you to hear this, or maybe it won't. I don't know. I'll be honest. Farting comes up sometimes in patient visits. Like, sometimes patients will be like, and also, what can I do to stop farting so much? But that is extremely rare. Most people, even medically, don't really want to talk to their doctors much about farting.
Well, they're in good company here. Let's talk about farts. And by that, I mean, let's start with the word fart. It's a very good word and a funny one that's funny to say every time you say it. It's hilarious.
Don't you prefer past gas?
I don't. But let's talk about the incredible history. According to a book I bought on the Amazon Kindle store with my own money, which is called Who Cut the Cheese? A Cultural History of the Fart by Jim Dawson.
I don't ever want to see that book.
Fart, it's in the cloud, so you can get it whenever you want.
Just fart, like farts.
Fart, that's good. Fart comes from the Old English vertin, which means to fart. The V became an F about 600 years ago.
So it was fertin.
Fertin. Well, it was vertin. And then
fertin.
The V became F, so then it was fertin, and then fart. So eventually, vert became fert, and then fert kind of got mixed up into fret. So if fret could mean a disagreeable person, but it could also mean to like to worry about something that
right.
isn't very important. So that word fret to fret comes from the same root as fart.
But fret was already, it was already in use for other things. Like, we already knew what it meant to fret, and it did not mean to fart. So
no,
we had to,
the word fret is derived from fart. Fert.
That would have been.
Fret. They got mixed up.
Yeah, okay. Because, it's like, meaning-wise, I don't know how you could, like, are you fretting about something? Excuse me?
Yeah, it means two different. It had two different meanings, but the word came
gotcha.
From the root of fart.
Gotcha.
Fart has had a bad rap, the word that is. See, even though it's a very old word, around 1750, writers started changing it to F-T, omitting the offending AR, to censoring it, basically self-censoring it. And in the late 1800s, fart was labeled by the Oxford English Dictionary as, quote, not now in decent use. Webster actually left it out of its first edition and its second edition, which were in 1909 and 1934, respectively. And
Webster was so uptight.
I know, man. Just let it go. It was in the 1961 version, if you can believe it, the first time that fart was in there. This is the first one with a fart in it.
That feels like a Trivial Pursuit question that only – no, I was going to say only you, but like my dad would know the answer.
But now
to.
We've infected everyone.
Now you all know.
Now you all know.
What year was fart first in Webster's Dictionary? 1961.
So Romans came up with flautus, which is the root of flatulence, mm-hmm. as you know. But okay, you're reading ahead. Stop reading ahead. Do I do that to you? I'm sorry. Look at me, because I got all the surprises for you. And I don't want you to ruin them by reading ahead.
Sorry.
Okay.
It's flatus.
Here she goes. Flatus was invented by the Romans. They called it flatus to try to sound fancy.
They invented it?
Look, did everyone just hear that? What happened to my butt? My butt coughed. No, they didn't invent farts. They invented flatus.
I mean, somebody did.
But the common people in Rome called it a bum-bum, which is survived now with when you hear a little kid say, "Mommy, I made a boom-boom." That goes all the way back to the Roman root of bum-bum.
Do you ever hear children say, "Mommy, I made a boom-boom"?
No, but people say it when they're making fun, pretending to be
making
a kid.
Fun of kids.
They're making, this one will really throw you for a loop, okay? In the 1700s, poop meant fart. That is such a funny sentence. I've got to say it again. In the 1700s, poop meant fart, but now
like
it means
poop. Are you saying poop?
Poop.
Okay. Not poot.
Poop meant fart.
That would be very confusing today. Like if you time traveled somebody from the 1700s to today.
I've pooped in my pants. Like, oh no, you should leave. No, it's fine. We all do.
You can't just hang around with that in there. It goes away on its own.
I want to tell you briefly about the most powerful fart in history, if I can, as long as we're talking about farts.
I guess you're gonna.
Seriously, don't read ahead because this is good.
I'm looking at you.
Okay, good. There was a fart that caused a rebellion in Egypt in 569 BCE. This is a tale that has been oft repeated. I found a version at Mendel Floss, but this is a wonderful nugget of history that may be a tiny bit apocryphal, but nobody knows. According to Herodotus, who's a Greek historian, there's this rebellion in Egypt, and it made a priest, who was the king of Egypt at the time, he was worried about this rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
So he looks around, he sends his top guy there to sort of put a lid on this, to tamp down the rebellion, right? And a priest sends one of his commanders, Amasis, to suppress the rebellion.
Okay.
But Amasis shows up and the rebels are like, hey, you know what? We love your style. We love the tone, the way you carry yourself. We love your look. We would like you to be king now of us. You're now our king. Welcome. We're going to make you king. You seem to have it all together. So they make Amasis the king. So a priest, understandably.
Is put out.
Is like, where is Amasis? I sent him like a long time ago. So he sends another advisor named Paterbemus.
And they make him other king.
He makes the second king. No, they make him the supreme magistrate. No, he sends him to handle the situation. He says, talk to Amasis. So Paterbemus shows up and Amasis hears him out and he says, here is the message that I want you to carry back to a priest. And he lifts down his pants and he farts.
Wait,
he pulls down his pants and he farts.
Was this a time in history where people wore pants or was it sort of
maybe he lifts his toga. Yeah, I don't like know. Maybe he didn't even do anything, but like if you're going to make a big show of it, I think you got to hang a ham out there and just really let it fly. So he farts in Paterbemus.
Was there were there underwear yet? This is a part of history we've never covered on the show. Underwear now?
Were there underwear? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. So he farts on Paterbemus and he says, carry that back to a priest. So presumably Paterbemus recounted this tale to the king.
Fart and all?
Well, we hope that he just said like, and then he says this, and then he farted on me. And he said, we hope that he didn't directly just like come
reenact.
Reenact. That would be a shoot the messenger case where I think you would be pretty well justified. According to Herodotus, there is no evidence about how this message was communicated back. But Aprius reacted by punishing the messenger and cutting off his nose and ears. This reaction to the fart message was so, like, unhinged that everyone was mad and, like, more people started joining the rebellion. And eventually, like, what this led to was Amasis beginning his reign over Egypt from 569 to 512 BCE.
So it was a coup.
Well, it was a poo, and and it was apparently things went really good while he was in charge. So that's great.
That's a great fart, I guess.
Here is another fart fact, fun fart fact for you. There was a guy named Joseph Pujol. I kid you not, that's his name, and he discovered that he could fart on command. He could breathe in air through his butt and then fart whenever he wanted to. Now, there's a lot of tutorials on Reddit now how to do this, but he had sort of like, if you will, backed into it and I guess discovered it on his own without any Reddit at all.
But then maybe he was the one who first put it on Reddit.
Maybe he put it on Reddit before 1945 when he sadly passed away. But he performed. He took this talent to the footlights, to the stage. And he took the stage name Le Petomane, which means fartomaniac.
You know, the next time somebody says something to the effect of like, I guess that's what passes for entertainment these days, this is the story to bring up.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah? Let me tell you about the fartomaniac.
Let me tell you about the classic days of theater.
He was on tour from that point on constantly. He would use his butt to blow out candles. He would play the flute with his farts. And he would even smoke cigarettes with his butt.
Were these shows considered like blue? You know what I mean? Like that feels like...
I mean, I don't think it's family.
Adult entertainment.
I don't think it's family. And maybe it is family. You know, kids back then, French kids, they were probably drinking wine, smoking cigarettes.
Kids love farts. Don't get me wrong. Kids love farts.
Le Petomane outgrossed even popular actress Sarah Bernhardt with bringing in the crowds. Everybody loved the fartomaniac.
Man, that's just rough. That's a comment on humanity that I just wish we didn't have to know now.
According to the Guinness Book of World Records, Bernard Clemens of London has the longest official fart at 2 minutes and 42 seconds.
Congratulations, Bernard. I'll be sending you a trophy.
There was also a very famous essay about farting that was written by Benjamin Franklin. It is colloquially known as Fart Proudly, but its actual title is A Letter to Royal Academy About Farting. And he was sort of a defender of farting and saying that it is that people should create a drug to make farting not such a problem.
Create a drug, like to make it not, like to make people fart less or to make it not offensive? To make it less smelly is where I'm going.
The essay suggested that research and practical reasoning be undertaken into methods of improving the odor of farts.
The odor, okay.
Here's a quote. I've perused your late mathematical prize question, proposed in lieu of one in natural philosophy for the ensuing year. Permit me, then, humbly, to propose that sort for your consideration, and through you, if you approve it, for the serious inquiry of learned physicians, chemists of this enlightened age. It is universally well known that in digesting our common food, there is created or produced in the bowels of human creatures a great quantity of wind. That the permitting this air to escape and mix with the atmosphere is usually offensive to company from the fetid smell that accompanies it. That all well-bred people, therefore, to avoid giving such offense, forcibly restrain the efforts of nature to discharge that wind. Basically, what he's saying is, if you hold it in, it's not great for you. So there should be a medicine to make farts smell better.
I mean, he's not completely wrong, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is uncomfortable. It's painful. Well, I think many people will attest to that.
We're going
to
talk.
It's not good for you.
We're going to talk even more. Somehow I haven't quite gotten to the medical part of it, but I promise it's coming.
Well, you had to torture me with fart stories first.
And we've got just a couple more right after the break. So let's head on to the billing department.
Let's go.
The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth.
You know, it's tempting to say, I'm going to start on the big new thing. You know, when the new year comes, I'm going to get it all figured out. Here's what I want to tell you. There's never been a better time to start your dream than right this second. And there's never been a better way to start than with Squarespace. We've been telling you about Squarespace for years, and that's because it's simply the best way to make a website. I mean, there's no other way to put it than that, folks. People have been using Squarespace to make incredible professional-looking websites. And they look professional because the templates they're using, they are made by real web designers. So they're making, like, building blocks that are going to look great. You just bring your stuff, your images, your things you want to sell, any of that, and Squarespace is going to help you make a great platform for it. Head to squarespace.com/sawbones for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code sawbones to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Sid, scrubs aren't like any other kind of clothes. Is that right? Scrubs aren't just like regular clothes. They're action clothes. They're clothes you gotta be able to perform in.
That's true. I definitely think that function is the primary concern with scrubs, but as someone who spends I don't want to say the majority of my life, but at least half of my life. No, it is the majority of my time in scrubs. I also
don't know about sleeping. You don't sleep in scrubs.
No, but you could if they're comfortable enough, which these are. But you also want them to look nice. Mm-hmm. And that's what's nice about Figs is that they are very functional. I'm not worried about when I'm down on the sidewalk doing my street medicine and my Figs. But also, I look nice. I get compliments on them. People don't always know they're scrubs.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how nice they look.
Well, that's a huge compliment because I know a lot of times scrubs have a reputation for not looking great and also being kind of itchy.
Yeah, these are not itchy. They're super soft. They're comfortable. I don't sleep in them because I do wear them to work and that would not be sanitary. But if I washed them, I could sleep in them. That's how comfy they are.
Sid, what is the number one reason that you have to do laundry every single week for you personally?
My scrubs.
Your scrubs. And wouldn't that be a little bit easier for anybody who's in the scrub game if they stocked up a little bit, had a few backup pairs?
Absolutely. Get yourself some more Figs. They're antimicrobial, so they'll keep you protected. They're durable, so you can wash them over and over again if you need to, like I do. And like I said, you look nice. You're going to look like a TV doc.
Like a TV doctor.
Yeah, like a TV doc.
It's the perfect time to stock up with some fresh outfits for the year, and Figs just dropped a brand new collection of limited edition styles and accessories. If you're in healthcare or shopping for someone who is, you can get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
You probably already have a favorite animal. Maybe it's a powerful apex predator like the tiger or a cute and cuddly panda. And those are great, but have you considered something a little more unconventional?
Could I perhaps interest you in the Greenland shark, which can live for nearly 400 years? Or maybe the jewel wasp, who performs brain surgery on cockroaches to control their minds?
On Just the Zoo of Us, we review animals by giving them ratings out of 10 in the categories of effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics. Listen with friends and family of all ages to find your new favorite animal with Just the Zoo of Us on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
Hello, I'm a stuffy dowager countess.
Travis?
I'm judging everybody's manners.
Oh, no.
Schmanners isn't judgy. It's about teaching you to be your best self and be a little more confident when you enter social situations that you don't understand, and maybe also teach you a little bit about history you didn't know or give you interesting things to talk about at parties.
Yeah, like the secret life of Emily Post.
Or like why wristwatches are the way that they are.
We can talk about table manners from the Victorian era.
Sure, or what it's like to attend a Regency ball.
Yeah.
You can find all that and more if you listen to Schmanners on Maximum Fun or wherever your podcasts come from, I guess.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
There's obviously people have thought about farting for a long time. There is not, though, a huge body of work on farting itself in the medical research community in terms of like excess farting in comparison to other things.
Well, it's not, I mean, I have to imagine, I don't have the numbers to back this, but I can't imagine it's a huge problem.
No, no.
I mean, I'm not saying no one experiences this or that the people who might experience excessive farting aren't, you know, experiencing significant distress from it. Certainly they could be. But I have never once had a patient present to me with a chief complaint of excessive farting.
I found this great article on The Verge called A Brief Medical History of Farting by Elizabeth Lopato. Elizabeth highlighted one specific character, Dr. Levitt, that's done a lot of M.D. Levitt, who has done a lot of work in this field.
M.D. Levitt, M.D.?
M.D. Levitt, M.D. That is correct. Here's one quote from one of his pieces about excessive flatulence. As yet, there are no data available that prove excessive flatulence is actually caused by the presence of excessive intestinal gas. So this is an interesting thing that Levitt highlighted in his work, is that the feeling of feeling bloated or feeling gassy is not really connected to farting a lot, like, or passing excessive gas. He had another paper in the New England Journal of Medicine in 1975. Check this study out. He found these people who had a lot of GI symptoms, right? They had gas, bloating, farting. And these 18 people, they had normal amounts of gas in their stomach, like a normal amount. But he thought maybe it's the excess gas that was causing the problems. So he pumped argon gas into their butts, quantitatively collected a series in 100 milliliter syringes and analyzed by gas chromatography, the farts that ensued, right?
Uh-huh.
And they basically found that they would pass gas at the same rate as they were being filled up with gas, and they would fart the same as anybody else. So it wasn't this sense of like bloating that it was actually causing the excessive farting. There's not really a connection there. Now, this study was hampered a little bit because fully a third of patients had to stop because the pain was so bad of having the argon gas blasted up your butt.
I would imagine. Well, it would distend your bowels and that. Yeah, that would definitely be painful. I mean, that can happen after like a colonoscopy or something where they have to put air in to take a look at things.
This same guy, Levitt, had another study on PubMed in 1998.
They don't actually put air in, I should clarify. They're putting air in by virtue of the fact they're sticking something in there.
Right. Yeah. So he popped back up in 1998, was studying this extremely flatulent patient who was farting a lot. And what he discovered was that by studying the gas that was put out, he could determine in part the cause of like why the farting was happening, right? Mm. So it says here on The Verge, turns out that the gas composition will tell you the gas's source. Too much nitrogen means you're swallowing air, while carbon dioxide, methane, and hydrogen tend to be found with gut-produced gas. So there are lots of causes for farting. And there's a lot of ways that you can fart less, according to the internet.
Well, I know that your diet affects it, because different foods are going to create different amounts of gas as they're being like broken down, and as bacteria are eating them and generating gas and that kind of thing.
Yeah, don't get ahead of me now. I see you've been reading Medical News Today, one of my top resources for finding out how to not fart so much.
No, I just know that.
I want to approach it as a layman. So I'm going to run down their list. I tried to find everything I could that people suggested for like not farting as much. Okay, I just want to go down bullet points. You give me like your fast reactions, okay? Number one, eat more slowly.
I guess it's possible because you swallow less air, but I would say it's not a huge effect.
Number two, don't chew gum. Because the chewing gum, I guess, you can inhale you more air.
More air.
Yeah. Three, it says look for a food intolerance, which maybe something that's causing you gas. Yeah. Number four, avoid tight-fitting clothes. Because if you feel that way, then it will feel better.
I don't think that changes the gas. I think it's just like how you feel about it.
Similar to the gum, don't smoke.
Sure.
Exercise more. Stay hydrated. Hydration makes everything work a little bit better. They say avoid soda, and or treat your constipation. Now, Medical News Today has several that this is like a recurring theme in the treating of farting. Avoid foods that create gas, but a lot of those are really good for you.
Yeah.
So maybe don't. Take probiotics, but sometimes probiotics can cause more gas.
Sometimes they can cause more gas. Yeah, no, that's true. And you don't want to avoid, I mean, when we're talking about foods that can cause gas, like there are a lot of like our vegetables that we need and beans, and there's lots of things that cause gas that are, I mean, really essential. And you don't want to cut out of a diet.
They also mentioned
to destigmatize farting, maybe.
They also mentioned enzyme supplements may make it better. Or worse. Which is like it's like those ads that you see on TV for like, if you'd like to improve the lightness of your hair, take this pill. One quick thing is that it might freeze you in place for 3 full hours. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only thing is the night terrors. But other than that, it's a really good medicine.
Yeah. No, well, I think what you're bumping up against, I would imagine, is that there's not a huge amount of evidence for a lot of these things, because as you said, people aren't doing a ton of research. There's not like a big foundation to like address farting that would generate a lot of dollars to put into research. You'd have a hard time arguing that you'd have a gigantic like morbidity mortality impact with some of that.
I wanted to get something a little more or maybe a little less allopathic, mm-hmm. maybe step outside the confines of Western medicine a little bit.
Oh, you know, I love when we do that.
So I went to the health site, which is the health site for me. And they had some more wellness focused suggestions, like swallow a spoonful of carom seeds. Make a tea from ginger. Make lemon water. This seems like things to distract you from your farting.
I don't know. I mean, ginger, I know, and I will say that this has been used anecdotally for a variety of stomach ailments for a long time. And I will say that I will drink a ginger ale if my stomach is upset myself, because I feel like it makes me feel better. Now, is it? I don't know, but it might be placebo. It might just be because ginger ale tastes good. But, like, so some of this stuff there, I don't know. There might be something to. I don't know what lemon water would do for you.
They also
– hydrate you. You're hydrated.
They also suggest a drink of squeezing one lime into a half glass of water and then adding baking soda to that and then drinking it. Apparently, sodium bicarb is supposed to be good for the farting.
So you just neutralize.
Yeah.
You've got an acid and a base, and you just put them in there together, neutralize them.
And then
drink some water.
You feel better or different. maybe you feel different. I don't know.
I would say not, but...
I'd like to talk with you briefly about GasX. GasX is... Mm-hmm. This is weird. I don't know if you've ever encountered this, but there's not a lot of, like, pop sci pieces about GasX. It's just sort of like... It's made... What's the... How you pronounce it?
Simethicone.
Simethicone. Mm-hmm. And that's the main active ingredient in all the GasX products, which are basically, like... I mainly have the I've seen the like tablets, the chewable tablets, but I'm sure it comes in other forms.
Yeah.
Probably a liquid or something. Can you tell me about simethicone?
So I can tell you that simethicone definitely is not I know that it is not incredibly effective. I know I was actually I have looked into this before. There have been no benefits with simethicone shown for common flatulence at this point.
None?
No. it has been studied.
Does it help with the feeling?
So with Imodium, in combination with Imodium, it's been found to be effective in relieving abdominal bloating and gas associated with acute diarrhea. But if you're just talking about you're not having diarrhea, nothing like that, you're just, you know, farting. simethicone at this point has not really been shown to be effective.
Another...
It changes... Do you know how it works?
No, no.
It changes the surface tension of gas bubbles to allow you to, like, absorb them easier.
That's wild. It's a wild thing.
So, but I think part of it is predicated on like where it works. So, like if there is a gas bubble or pocket right there where it lands in the stomach, but I don't think it can do as much as it moves along is the big problem. So,
probably the most like well known. Well, probably I don't know if it's more well known, but it's certainly culturally more relevant is Beano.
Yes.
Beano is. Do you know about Beano?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Beano is. I want to talk before we talk about like what Beano does. I'd like to talk, you know what, actually, let's talk about what Beano does, because the guy who invented Beano is a riot. So let's tell me about Beano.
Okay, Beano is an enzyme, basically, and the idea is that there are some things that are harder for us to digest, and so that can lead to some of these symptoms like gas and bloating and you know, pain and things like that. So it will help break down these more complex, like, polysaccharides, sugars, into, like, simple sugars. Making them more digestible, and so then you won't have as much gas and bloating and pain and whatnot.
It was invented by a guy named Alan Kilgerman. This is his brief bio, okay? He was studying at Cornell. He dropped out of Cornell, joined his family dairy business, and when he was making the rounds doing his deliveries, he would find customers that couldn't enjoy the products that he was selling for whatever reason. They had problems with it. So he created – the first thing he made was called Sugar Low. It was an ice cream for people that had trouble with lactose.
Ooh.
And then the government banned the sweeteners, cyclamate sweeteners that it used in 1969. So he started looking for other foods that give people trouble, and he found he stumbled on his creation, lactate. So he is the inventor of lactate. He is also the inventor of Beano. This cat is like the guy who is willing to do the work that nobody else wants to think about.
And this makes sense too, because we're talking about enzymes that you need in your body and you might not have enough of. Basically, he's just synthesizing those to make and put in your body, because like that's what Beano is. It's oral alpha galactosidase. So just like lactate is lactase. So you're talking about things that break things down.
Hilariously, Alan Kilgerman doesn't like the word fart almost as much as you dislike it. People bring up the Blazing Saddles scene where everybody's eating beans and farting to him all the time. And he says, believe me, I am no prude, but I find I have a problem with that word. He doesn't like the word fart. I guess this is like his personal mission then. Like, I want people to talk about farts less. The only way to do it is to give them all pills.
To make Do you know if Beano works? You want to know?
Yeah, please tell me if Beano
works. I found, by the way, I just checked. There is a huge American Academy of Family Practice. This is why, if you're a med student and you're debating, what should I go into? This is why you go into family practice. We tackle the issues that nobody else is willing to take care of. If it is a problem for humans, we can take care of it. That's family medicine. There is better evidence for Beano. It's been shown to reduce volume of flatus associated with fermentable carbohydrates and high fiber diets.
Fascinating.
It is found to have a better, like, evidence recommendation, certainly, than simethicone.
I should mention, by the way, when I was looking up efficacy and then I couldn't really understand it, I should mention that activated charcoal is something that gets tossed around a lot mm-hmm. for this and doesn't do.
It doesn't. Yeah.
Just a couple more, just to check in with Alan. It has made him incredibly rich, but he doesn't like to talk about it. He says, it's tasteless to put the dollar number out there. I loathe this kind of thing. It sounds like chest thumping. This is an interview with CNN Money. So they were pushing into, like, so how much have you made? He's like, I don't want to really talk about that. He says, I've sat in a restaurant and overheard people talking enthusiastically about a product I did. Confesses Kilgerman, whose company, AK Pharma, operates out of Egg Harbor Township in New Jersey. But I don't need to say anything and throw who I am in their faces. I feel good enough about it. I'm secure with it. I love that. Do you know how far that is from me as a human being? We're on opposite sides of the globe. If I heard someone in an adjacent building, like, maybe mention the fart destroyer I made, I would be like sprinting across the street to tell them.
That's me.
I did it.
I'm the guy.
You're welcome. I haven't farted for 20 years. You're welcome. I'm so good. Kilgerman's still inventing stuff, even though he sold off those products quite some time ago. He also invented a product that is Beano for dogs, and it's called Curtail.
does it work on cats too? Does he have a cat one? Can you make a cat one? We need a cat one for our cat.
We really need a cat one for our cat.
Yeah.
But Sydney, could farts be medicine?
No.
You know, in the we have talked about in the 17th century when there was a, I believe we've spoken on this, Sydney. There was a thought that we understand the what's the theory of disease that is like.
Are you talking about germ theory of disease?
Yes, the germ theory of disease. No, the vapor theory.
Miasma
theory mm-hmm. of disease. Basically, the diseases would be like all around you, right?
Yeah, like bad air.
So there was a great plague of London in the like mid to late 1600s, and they thought it was the miasma, the deadly air sweeping throughout. So doctors advised people at the time that they could get rid of that with different smells. It's the same reason that plague doctors would have a sachet of potpourri in the snout of their masks. But this is kind of like a DIY. This is kind of a DIY version where the doctors would tell people to store their farts in a jar.
And then smell them?
Yeah. and then when they think they would be exposed to like bad stuff, they're like, oh, I think I smell disease. I better get my jar of
farts. Man, we've come a long way. Sometimes I worry we're nowhere.
Have we?
I mean, we're not. Wasn't there somebody who was selling jars of farts on the internet? Wasn't there a person?
It sounds like something. But
I thought that was a thing.
One thing. A gastroenterologist at Mayo Clinic, Dr. Perna Kashyap, says that makes the point in this other article that eating foods that cause gas is the only way for microbes in the gut to get nutrients. If we don't feed them carbohydrates, it would be harder for them to live in our gut. So basically, farting could be a good sign that you're giving your body the stuff it needs. Those are the happy. You know, the happy belches of microbes that are getting what they need.
It is something, and this may be something you've wondered. If you've ever been in the hospital, especially if you've had some sort of surgical procedure done, and especially if you were put under anesthesia or like general anesthesia even more so. In these situations, us doctors may walk in your room in the morning and probably very early in the morning, and we may look at you and the first thing we say to you is, have you passed gas? And that is not accusatory. We are not smelling something and accusing you. It is that we are looking for that critical sign that your bowels are working or waking back up after we knocked you out and did a surgery on you. Probably you're going to do that before you actually have a bowel movement. And so if we, after the day after surgery, come in and say, hey, have you passed gas? And you say no, we are watching you a little more closely to make sure you haven't developed something called an ileus, which we usually describe as like when your bowels sort of go to sleep for a bit and nothing moves. But passing gas is a good sign. When you tell us that, we know that the bowels are working, that a poop is on its way.
And is on its way.
And all is well. So if you ever wondered why there is a doctor, probably a surgeon, in your room at 5 a.m. asking you, have you farted?
That's why.
We need to know this. It is critical medical information, and it is good that you farted.
Don't get all hung up on it. You need to fart. It's just part of the body's natural systems, just, you know.
Yeah, I don't have
farts out.
I'm not a fart shamer. I don't have a problem with farting. I'm not like grossed out or weirded out if people fart. I just don't want to talk about it.
Well, luckily you've reached the end of this tour of farting in medicine, as at least as good as I could do with it. I want to remind everybody real quick, December 17th, 9 p.m., bit.ly/CandleNights2022. We've got guests. We've got skits. We've got songs. We've got stories. We probably have puppets. We had puppets last year. There'll probably be puppets again. It's all happening at 9 p.m. Eastern, but you can watch it for like a month afterwards.
There may be a movie trailer.
There may be a movie trailer from our hit medical romance comedy franchise.
Comedy Christmas medical franchise.
One of the top ones.
Romance comedy medical Christmas franchise. They're
top,
out of order.
One of the top.
Top one of those.
The tickets are $5. All proceeds go to Harmony House. You can give more than $5. There's also a poster on the same website that you could buy that where the proceeds go to benefit Harmony House, which is a shelter for people experiencing homelessness in our area that Sydney volunteers her services at. Speaking of benefiting Harmony House, if you go to McElroyMerch.com in the month of December, 10% of all merch proceeds this month will go towards Harmony House. We're trying to support them in every way we can. It is cold here and people need the help.
Yeah,
so these friends and clients all need the support now more than ever. So
we really appreciate anything you can give, any help you can give us. We have a lot of people that we're taking care of, and I think most people who work in services like this can attest. We are always trying to do a whole lot with very little. So every little bit helps.
Get yourself a horseshoe crab t-shirt, a vaccines t-shirt, a Solomon's pin. Provax pin, Carol's Care Nothing t-shirt, vaccines bumper sticker. I mean, you got to come get some of this stuff. McElroyMerch.com buys a bunch of stuff in December. Makes a great gift. Thanks to taxpayers for use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. It's going to do it for us for this week. So until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.